Okay, everybody, let's get started. Just a public service announcement. Obviously, it's a very big day today here in camp, and certainly for us over here by the Masmidim, the schedule is pretty packed today. So during what would normally be our break, at what is it, at 2 o'clock, we're going to be with Rav David Cohen, the Q&A session. It's, the questions that you guys suggested on the chat were very, very good. Hopefully we'll be able to get to all of those questions. 2:30, Rav Reuven Feinstein, Be'ezras Hashem. I don't think that will be Q&A, but just in case, you never know if he wants to open the floor for questions, maybe you should have that prepared also. You can certainly ask him about, you know, his experiences growing up in his father's house and things like that. And then at 4 o'clock, we're going to have Milcha. The schedule has changed somewhat. 4:15, after Milcha, Rabbi Levin Shlita is going to be giving some Musr. And then tomorrow morning, hot off the presses, you should share with the Chevra. So tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., meaning during my normal time in Halacha slot, Rav Yonason Sachs Shlita will be giving a shir. He may do something on a sugya in Rosh Hashanah, so that may be instead of Gemara shir. Maybe I'll do something partial later on in the morning. We'll figure it out, because I don't want to overload you. It feels like already it's a little bit of an overload. But I don't know, you have all these opportunities. Who are you going to say no to on that list? You know, like, who are you going to say no thanks? You know, like, so Be'ez Hashem, Rav Sachs tomorrow morning. And then next week, a lot more of the same. You know, Baruch Hashem, a lot more, you know, really prominent people and very important Talmidei Chachamim will be here. So Baruch Hashem, we're very, very fortunate. Let's take advantage of that. So today I wanted to discuss a little bit about the sugya of Cheresh in Tkiya Shofar. So the Mishnah says at the end of the Mishnah Chavtasa Menalev that a Cheresh Shaita V'Katan is not Motzi Ramidei Chavasa. A Cheresh Shaita V'Katan can't be Motzi people, and the Mishnah is not very mysterious about why that is the case, that a Cheresh cannot be motzi people. Zaklal kol shein mechuyev b'davar ein motzi rasam. If a person is not mechuyev b'davar, they can't be motzi other people either. So very clearly, the Mishnah is telling us that a cheresh is ein mechuyev b'davar. So since he's not chayev in tkiyah shofar mela, he's not going to be able to be motzi other people that are chayev even. The Mishnah does not say explicitly. The Mishnah does not say explicitly the definition of cheresh in this context. I mean, what does the word cheresh mean? When you were taught in whatever Haschalas Gemara, when you start, you know, or when you first started learning Mishnayos, I don't know what grade that is, third grade, fourth grade, you start learning Mishnayos, and they tell you cheresh ayta v'katan. So how do they translate cheresh?
Deaf mute.
They always say deaf mute. So deaf mute are actually two different words. There's deaf and there's mute. There are people who cannot hear, and there are people who cannot speak. So the Mishnah does not define whether we're talking about a cheresh she'eino shomea ve'eino medaber, who, in which case, he has the din of a shota l'kol davar. Right? There is a discussion the Ksav Sofer has in Tshuvas once they discovered ways to educate people who are deaf and mute and sign language, and they can read and write, and they can. You're still going to say that they're not a bardas. You're still going to say once they have the ability to communicate. The assumption was a deaf mute could never communicate at all with other people or be communicated to, and therefore will never develop into a bardas. Now, thank God, there are ways to develop into a bardas. But assuming, you know, from a Mishnah perspective, that someone is Eino Medaber, Eino Shomea is Kishot al-Chol Daber, so of course he's Pater from Shofar. Why is he Pater from Shofar? Because he's Pater from every mitzvah in the Torah. Or maybe Cheresh over here means someone who's Medaber Ve'eino Shomea. Now there's a big difference. A Medaber Ve'eino Shomea, someone who is deaf, but he is not mute, is not a Shota. He is not Dino Keshot. He's chayiv in mitzvos. He's chayiv in all mitzvos of the Torah. Why would he be potter from shofar then if he's medaber ve'eino shomea? He's a pikeach l'chol dvarav. Why in the world would he be potter from shofar? So what's the pashut answer?
It's all about
shmiya. I mean, if you can't hear, you can't do shofar. So someone who's deaf is not a bar hachi to be able to do the mitzvah of shofar. So in Shulchan Aruch, it's in Tavkov Pei Tesif Beis, the Mechaber is very clear about how he read this Mishnah. The Mechaber writes, and it's based on the Rishonim, he quotes in the Beis Yosef, in source number 2 in your packets over here, that cheresh ayta v'katan p'turim, the cheresh afilu medaber meino shamea. It could be even if he has the capacity to speak. Ein motzi, cannot be motzi other people, to kimidei lo shamea, lav bar chiyuvahu. If he is not Shomea, then he is not a Bar Chiyuva in Tkiya Shofar. And as a lot Bar Chiyuva, he cannot be able to see other people. Yidei Chavasan. So that's what the Mechaber says, that Shomea Tkiya Shofar, even from a Cherish who's Medaber Veinu Shomea, a person who hears from such a person is not Yotze, because since the person blowing the shofar is not Shomea, he's not a Bar Chiyuva. In Beis Yosef, if you look back in Beis Yosef, where he got this from, he got it from a Tashbetz and a Kolbo, that mitzvah Tkiya Shofar is a mitzvah Shmiya. The whole mitzvah is not a mitzvah Tkiya, the whole mitzvah is a mitzvah Shmiya, and since the whole mitzvah is a mitzvah Shmiya, and this guy cannot be Shomea, he's not going to be Chayiv. Now, in general, whenever we refer to Cherish, like we said before, you always say Cherish is a deaf mute. Where does that come from, that we refer to Cherish as a deaf mute? So in the beginning of Maseches Chagiga, Cherish, the Gemara says, is always Dumi Deshota Bekatan. That Deshota Bekatan, what do they have in common? That they're not Bnei Da'as. So Cherish also, the assumption is, they always go together, Cherish Eta Bekatan. So Cherish is also someone who is not a Bar Da'as. But it could be that that's only in those matters that relate to Da'as. But if there's another p'tur, like you have a situation where the whole mitzvah is a mitzvah of Shmiya, and the chiyuv is not solely dependent on Da'as, like over here, so then you'll have a cherish that even can be medaber, it is about Da'as, that's going to be pater. The raya that you have cherish used in that context is the Mishnah in Chagiga Daf Yotes tells us that a cherish of a katan cannot be motzi other people b'mikra Megillah. Cannot be mostly other people mikra Megillah. So a cherish cannot be mostly other people mikra Megillah. Shkayach, of course, a cherish cannot be mostly other people mikra Megillah, because if a cherish always means someone who is a deaf mute, how on earth could he be mostly other people in mikra? Well, what's the hava meaning of him being mostly other people in mikra Megillah? Elamai, we must be talking about a cherish who is medaber ve'ino shomea. Obviously, we're talking about someone who is medaber ve'ino shomea, and nevertheless, it still lists Cherish as Vekatan, still as one grouping. So it really depends on context. And it seems obvious that that's the case, that it really depends on context, that Cherish does not mean the same thing every time you have it in Shas. And because it seems obvious that that is the case, it is somewhat odd that the Aruch HaShulchan attacks the Mechaber over here. The whole idea that the Aruch HaShulchan would attack the Mechaber, is based on the Shavu, the Aruch HaShulchan, without support from other places, other than Gemaras, without support from Rishonim or other Achronim, just goes on the attack against the Mechaber, very uncharacteristic. And he says, how does he know to pater Cherish HaMedaber and make him an Einu Bar Chiyuva, because Stam Cherish B'chol Makom is Einu Medaber ve'Einu Shamea. So who told the Mechaber that when it comes to Mikra Megillah, just because the guy is Einu Shamea, that he's pater from Mikra Megillah, and that he cannot be Motzi Acherim Yidei Chavasam? What do you mean, who told you? The Rambam Paskins in Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, the Rambam Paskins in Hilchos Shofar, that HaKol Chayavin L'Shmoa Kol Shofar, that the mitzvah of Shofar is Shmiya. The Mechaber didn't make this up. The Rambam says that the mitzvah is Shmiya. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, nah, the Rambam doesn't say that the mitzvah is Shmiya. That's just how the mitzvah is done. But the real mitzvah is Tekiyas Shofar. The mitzvah is not really Shmiyas Shofar. And he says, Cherish Sheino Shomea is chayiv to be Tokea. And he's a Bar Chiyuva. He just can't say a bracha because, according to the Beis Yosef, he's Pater. So, out of respect for the Mechaber, he won't say a bracha. But really, he's chayiv in Tekiyas Shofar. Because the mitzvah is not Shmiyah, the mitzvah is Tekiyah. Why did the Rambam indicate that the mitzvah is Shmiyah? That's just the way that people are normally Yotze. But the mitzvah is certainly a mitzvah of Tekiyah. So the Aruch HaShulchan takes like as a double pashut that no one would say that the mitzvah is Shmiyah. The Rambam doesn't really mean that. I mean, this is like obviously a much bigger topic, what the nature of the mitzvah Tekiyah Shofar is. But for the Aruch HaShulchan to like be dismissive of the possibility that the Rambam is saying that the mitzvah is Shmiyah is very, very strange. And it's strange because it's very obvious from many places that the Rambam holds that the mitzvah is Shmiyah. Not only in Mishnah Torah, but in Sefer HaMitzvos, in Mitzvah Kuf Ayin, the Rambam writes that the mitzvah, in the Minyan HaMitzvos and the Sefer HaMitzvos, that the Etzem Hagdara of the mitzvah is the Shema Kol Shofar. In the Prati HaMitzvos, at the beginning of Hilchos Shofar, even at the heading of each section, the Rambam goes through what the mitzvahs are in this section, and it's L'Shema Kol Shofar. And in case you're not convinced by that, there is a Tshuvas HaRambam, where the Rambam spells it out even more. There's a Tshuvas HaRambam, and the Tshuvas Pe'er Hador. The Pe'er Hador is Nun Aleph. the editions of the Pe'er Hador that are commonly available now were put out by Machon Yerushalayim, and they were worked on by Rav David Yosef, one of Rav Vadia's sons, worked on the Pe'er Hador. And so I always found it fascinating, the Hakdama to that Sefer, Pe'er Hador, to the Shul's Pe'er Hador, Rav Vadia wrote a Haskama. It's funny, Rav Vadia wrote a Haskama to the Rambam, but not really to the Rambam, it was to his son's work on the Rambam. And he said that this work is a very important work. He said, because Maran Beit Yosef did not have the Pe'er Hador. He didn't have the Tshuvas HaRambam of the Pe'er Hador, and because he didn't have it, and we know the commitment that Beit Yosef had to always follow Shitas HaRambam, almost always follow Shitas HaRambam, even though, Rav Vadia says, even though Rav Vadia's whole life was about fighting for everyone should follow all Svardin, whether you're from Morocco or from Syria or from, didn't matter, Iraq, or it didn't matter where you're from. His big fight was that all Svardin have to follow the Shita of Maran Beit Yosef all the time. He says, we can find things in Pe'er Hador that are against Maran Beit Yosef. We have to assume that Maran would have agreed to what it said had he seen it, because it's a Rambam, and therefore it would change the halacha. The Svardim would no longer follow Maran, they would follow what it says in the Rambam. So that's how important he held Pe'er Hador is, which is an interesting hashkafic debate. If something was hidden from important Mechabrim over time, like the Me'iri was hidden, it was a very important Rishon, was hidden from very, very important Poskim for many, many centuries, do we assume that the Ribbono Shel Olam took it out of the halacha conversation for a while, allowed the halacha to develop, and then threw it in there so you could give a good chabur in yeshiva? Or do we assume that it's unfortunate that they didn't have access to it, but now we can correct a historical wrong? Meaning the fact that the Me'iri wasn't there for all those years was a historical wrong, and now we can correct it and fix the halacha. That's an interesting discussion. But that's where Rav Yosef stands, is that it wasn't hashkacha or non-hashkacha. Just like if Hashkacha took away the Pe'er Hador from the Beis Yosef, the Hashkacha, the hand of Hashkacha, the Ribbono Shel Olam's hand, gave it right back to us in our generation, and therefore we have to pay attention to it. So anyway, in the Tshuvas Pe'er Hador, in Siman and Aleph, the Rambam writes that the Nusach of the Brachos is the Shema Kol Shofar, because the mitzvah is not the Tkiyah, the mitzvah is the Shmiah. Like, you couldn't be more explicit that the mitzvah is Shmiyas HaShofar. And he says, the Rambam even makes a mashal. He says, the Tkiyah is like Binyan HaSukkah. That building a sukkah is what? Building a sukkah is not a mitzvah, building a sukkah is a hechsher mitzvah. So the tkiyah is like a hechsher mitzvah for the shmiyah, which is the real mitzvah. That's a shocking equation to make. No, tkiyah, even if it's not the kiva mitzvah, but at the very least, what is the tkiyah? It's at least the Maisa Mitzvah, no? Building a sukkah is neither. It's not a Maisa Mitzvah, it's not a Kiyama Mitzvah. Building a sukkah is an important Hashem Mitzvah, it's Hashem Mitzvah, Ksuvim Shukrat, but it's not a Maisa Mitzvah. But nevertheless, the Rambam Pe'er Hador seems to make that equation. Yes. So the Rambam in Hilchos Shofar also says that you yotzei with, in Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, you yotzei with a shofar gazel, because the mitzvah is not betkia, el b'shmiya, ve'in b'kol, din gezel. So it's very clear that the Rambam holds. So it's unclear why the Aruch HaShulchan is so upset about this assumption of the Beis Yosef that the mitzvah is the Shemiyah. But the Aruch HaShulchan is very, very unhappy about this, and he thinks the mitzvah is the Tekiyah. So why is he really unhappy about this? Like, what's driving his unhappiness over here? I mean, he must have some starker raya that the mitzvah is something more than the Shemiyah. So the Rosh in the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah, in the end of Simin Yud, quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that you should say a bracha of Al Tkiyas Shofar. And we're going to do this right now, just in case we don't get a chance later in the summer to actually go through whether the mitzvah is the Shmir or the Tkiyah. So we'll scratch the surface of the sugya a little bit today before we get into the Avnei Nezer, which I think is also fascinating. So the Rosh quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that when one recites a bracha and shofar, the nusach of the bracha should be Al Tkiyas Shofar, because the asiyasa hi gemar mitzvasa. Now, when you do the tkiyah, so you're kind of the mitzvah right there. The Rav Yah quotes Yerushalmi that a tokeh shofar has to say bracha asher kishom sosusanu lishmoa. They call it shofar. So the Rav Yah quotes Yerushalmi against the Rabbeinu Tam and the Bahag also, that when you say the Shema B'kol Shofar, you don't say Bracha L'tkoa B'Shofar or Al Tkiyah Shofar like you would on Mikra Megillah. Why? Because Shmiyas Kol Shofar you Yotzei, and not with Tkiyas Shofar. But the mitzvah is a Shmiyah, not the tzkiyah. So you do have this machlokas Rishonim, what the bracha is, and pashtos of that machlokas is that what the Rishonim are arguing when it comes to the nusach bracha is arguing what the etzema mitzvah of the shofar is. Is it tzkiyah or is it shmiyah? So those who disagree with the Bahadim hold that the nusach of the bracha is al tzkiyah shofar, like Rabbeinu Tam, must hold that the mitzvah, that's the nusach of the bracha, because the nusach is a reflection of what the mitzvah is, that the mitzvah is tzkiyah. And the Rambam is mechalik between the mitzvah of shofar and Rosh Hashanah and the mitzvah of shofar and Yom Kippurim of Yovel. Why? Because in the Hilchas shofar, the Rambam writes mitzvah seishal Torah lishmoa trua shofar Rosh Hashanah. Yet in Perek Yud of Hilchas Shmita of Yovel, Halacha Yud, again Hilchas Shmita of Yovel, Perek Yud, Halacha Yud, where the Rambam describes the mitzvah of shofar and Yom Kippurim, can you guess what the Rambam is going to say? That the mitzvah is litkoa. He says mitzvah say litkoa b'shofar basiyun tishrei in the shnasa yovel in the yovel year. So must be if there's that the Rambam holds that the mitzvah of shofar takes on different forms from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur of Yovel, and say for mitzvahs it appears that way as well. In mitzvahs I say kuf ayin, the Rambam writes lishmoa kol shofar on the first day of Tishrei. Mitzvah Sasei Kuf Lamed Zayin, he writes, Litkoa B'Shofar on the 10th day of Tishrei, and then your Kari Dror La'avadim, you know, you declare liberty to all of its inhabitants and everything else. So, and it's Chapsa Nafkamina Ludina. The Rambam writes in Pe'er Adar that the fact that the Tzibur is Yotze, when they hear Tzkios from other people, it's because that is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is only to hear. And it turns out that one cannot be Yotze with Tzkios of Yovel by hearing Tzkios from other people. If the Rambam says the only reason you're able to be Yotze by hearing from somebody else is because that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is Shomea. He seems to be saying that Shomea Kohanah doesn't apply even by Shofar, which is hard to imagine that it wouldn't, because Gemara says it does. But the mitzvah is Shomea. Maybe by Yovel, it's not that you can be Mekayim the mitzvah. It's just a mitzvah not on each and every individual, perhaps. Okay, well, let's not get into the mitzvah by Yovel. Yeah. Okay.
Would the Rambam say that?
Probably. According to the simple reading, yeah, probably. Okay, so meaning the way, the standard way, right, the standard way to understand the Rishonim is that if you're arguing about the bracha, you're arguing about the mitzvah. Right, if you're arguing about what the words of the bracha are, you're really arguing about the nature of the mitzvah. Shagasari just points out, it's very hard to, Shagasari in Simva points out, it's very hard to understand how you can say that the mitzvah is l'shmoa only, that there's a mitzvah just to hear the shofar. Why is it difficult to understand? The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says in Daflam Beis and Beis that a misasik lo yatza hashomea min a misasik lo yatza. That if a person is not having any kavanah to even blow the shofar, but he's producing a sound of the shofar, he's just breathing heavy and happens to be near a shofar, and the sound of the shofar comes out. So he's totally misasik. So lo yatza. Why not? If I'm listening and I'm having kavanah to be yotze and I'm shomea kol shofar, why can't I be yotze? If the whole mitzvah is the shmia, it's not that. The tokeya is doing a mitzvah and of tkiya, and I'm being yotzei shomei kohen. Yeah, when shomei kohen, I need the guy who's being motzi me to be having kavana. But no one's being motzi me. I'm doing the mitzvah. If the whole mitzvah is a shmiya, it means that whoever's blowing is just saying chitimtzah to create a call. But the it's my hearing the call that's the mitzvah. Say something like that, l'chora, would be the same as the misasik. It's kilu, there's nobody doing it, it's just happening. If it's a maisa kof, if a monkey were to come, and you could train a monkey to blow the shofar, right, why not? If the mitzvah is shmiya, I'm hearing them call shofar. So it doesn't matter, I don't need anyone to be motzi me. The mishach chavtas amir al v'ar mishach, cher shot v'kat, not motzi rab nidei chavasan. If it's shmiya l'chud, why when you're shomea min the misasik, why when you're shomea from a cheresh or a shota or a katan for that matter, would you not be yotze? If the whole mitzvah is only shmia, you're a shomea kol shofar. So says the Shagas Aryeh, it has to be that the tkia plays some role in the mitzvah. Is that such a stark araya? Why not? Okay, Alex, guess the counsel.
Because you can still say that the actual tekiya needs to be blown by a barfiu of the shmi. That the person who's blowing it still has to be chayiv in the actual.
Why? If it's not shomea kohona, it's not that I need to be. He's being motzi me. He's not being motzi me.
Because person who's going is still the person who actually performed the Maaseh Mitzvah. You still say that there is an element of the Maaseh Mitzvah with the Iker still being placed on the Shmir.
Oh, so we have to refine it a little bit or define it a little bit, but it could be just on the simple side, before we even get into Maaseh and everything, it could just be that the Mitzvah is B'Shmir and not B'Tekiyah, but you have to be Shomea a Kol Shofar. And the definition of kol shofar might not just be whatever sound comes out of an animal's horn. The halachic definition of a tekiah, you have to be shomea a tekiah. So the definition of a tekiah might be a tekiah that's generated by a bar chiyuv, a bar das, who's having das. Right? That could just be the definition of tekiah. But in a chinami, tekiah mitzvah is only by being shomea. But there's a bigger problem. Here at the end of the third paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, it sounds like the fact that a person could be Yotze Tekiya Shofar when you hear someone else is Midin Shomea Kohen, because the Gemara itself compares it to hearing Kiddush from somebody else. When you hear Kiddush from somebody, is the mitzvah to hear Kiddush? No one holds there's a mitzvah to hear Kiddush. The mitzvah is to say Kiddush. Zachar, as Yom HaShabbos L'Kashav, Zachir is B'Dvarim, Zachir is B'Peh, you have to say Kiddush. Elamai, why can I listen to Kiddush and be Yotze Shomea Ke'ona? And the Gemara says, yeah, the same thing as Shofar. The Gemara brings it up. It literally brings that up in the context of the discussion of Shofar. So the simple understanding is that the mitzvah is not only in the Shmir of the Kol Shofar, because he's not doing the Shmir all by himself. You're doing all by yourself. And you don't need a din of Shomea Ka'una for the Shmir. So you have to say is that there is a din, in addition to Shmia, there's a din of a Maisa Tekiah, that there's got to be a Maisa Tekiah. And it's just Shomea Ka'ona that allows that it's as if I did the Maisa Tekiah even though I'm only listening. On the flip side, on Chavzayim and Beis, we said that Tukeh L'Tocha Bar L'Tocha Dos L'Tocha Pites Im Kol Shofar Shomei Yatzav Im Kol Avar Shomei Lo Yatzav. So you have explicitly that if you blew a tekiah and you didn't hear the tekiah, you're not yotze. So on the one hand, we have Shomea Kohanah. So Shomea Kohanah is explicit in comparison to Kiddush. So that makes it sound like there's a din of really being on it, there's a din of really saying it, there's a din of actually blowing shofar. But on the other hand, we said that if you blow shofar and you don't hear it, you're not yotze. So that makes it sound like there's no din that the real din is being Shomea, the kol shofar. So, L'chora, you have to say that you need both. You need a Maisa Tekiah and also a Shmias Kol Shofar. So then what are they arguing about? Meaning, what are the Rishonim arguing about then? Meaning, back to the Kasha. The Rishonim have this argument. Do you say L'shma Kol Shofar? Do you say L'tzkav B'Shofar? Al-Tekiah Shofar? So we say, okay, simple argument is what's the mitzvah? But now we said we've proven that they're both the mitzvah. So what are they arguing about then?
Can you say that the machlokes between Shmia versus Tekiah is
the problem with that is, I mean, that's always the lumdus with kid. Whenever it's kid, is kid the equivalent of or similar to? But the problem is, then you have to go with every other Shemei Kol and Mitzvah and have the same machlokas. But it doesn't seem we have that. It seems that it's dafka by shofar. So it seems something unique to shofar. So Shachter in Eretz Tzvi and Simon Gimel Oz Tess writes that, I think we mentioned this the other day, so we'll just bring it back, but he uses it to answer this yisod. He writes, by most mitzvahs in the Torah, the Maisa Mitzvah and the Kiyuma Mitzvah are simultaneous. You put on tefillin, that's the Maisa Mitzvah of tefillin, and it's also the Kiyuma Mitzvah. As soon as you do the Maisa Mitzvah, you're giving the kind of mitzvah. You do Netilas Lulav, the Maisa Mitzvah is Netilas Dalad Minim, and that's also the Kiyuma Mitzvah, when you're in Notel Dalad Minim. But sometimes you find mitzvahs where the Maisa Mitzvah and the Kiyuma Mitzvah are not perfectly aligned. Mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov. The Maisa Mitzvah is Achilas Basar, Shtiyas Yayin, Amiras Halel, and the Kiyuma Mitzvah. What's the Kiyuma Mitzvah? Is a Kiyum Shebelev, meaning it's a feeling that one has. If one is sad and grumpy the entire time, I'll eat meat but I don't like it, you know, I'll drink wine but I am not happy about it. So he's doing the Maisa Mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, but there is no Kiyuma Mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov if there's no Kiyum Shebelev. You know, a person has to be in a state of simcha. Or on the flip side of things, Avelus, right? What's the Maisa Mitzvah of Avelus? A person goes through the acts of a day. He's sitting on the floor, he doesn't wear leather shoes. A person goes through Tisha B'Av, let's say, and he's going through all these all the motions, but you know, he's in the best mood ever, and he's you know, his regular jolly self. So there's no kiyum mitzvah, because the kiyum is a kiyum shablev, to be misadel on the nifter or on the base of Mikdash. That's the Gemara in the Mishnah Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Mem Vav says, "Ein aninus ela b'leiv," and aninus is always b'leiv. Sometimes you'll have a separation between the Maaseh and the Kiyum HaMitzvah. So based on that, Rav Shachter suggests that by mitzvah shofar you also have that the Maaseh mitzvah is certainly a Maaseh of Tekiyah. That is the Maaseh mitzvah. The Kiyum HaMitzvah is to be Shomeya the Tekiyah. And that works with all the Gemaras now. That mitzad echad, we paskin, tokeh l'tochabor, and you only hear kol avari, you don't hear the kol shofar. Lo yatza. Lo yatza means you were not mekayim the mitzvah. Did you do the ma'aseh mitzvah? Yeah, but there's no kiyum, because the kiyum is the shmiya. Mitzad sheni, we paskin, that in order to be yotzei when someone else is blowing, you need to have dinu shomea ka'ona, because you also have to do the ma'aseh mitzvah. So you're getting the ma'aseh mitzvah by latching onto his ma'aseh mitzvah, the shomea ka'ona. You need both. You need the tkiyah and the shmiya. You need the ma'aseh mitzvah is the tkiyah, the kiyum mitzvah is the shmiya. What are the Rishonim arguing about? When Chazal have to institute a Nusach HaBracha, which one do they focus on? Do they focus on the Maisa, or do they focus on the Kiyum? According to the Bahag, which is how we pass on Shulchan Aruch and Tavkuf Pehei, you say the Bracha on the Shmiya, the Shema Kol Shofar. Why? Because that's the Kiyum HaMitzvah, the Shmiya Satzkiyah. Whereas Rabbi Natan holds that it's true, the Kiyum HaMitzvah is the Shmiya. I agree, Rabbi Natan would argue, that the Kiyum HaMitzvah is the Shmiya, but Chacham are Misakin Brachos, not on the Maisa Mitzvah, but on the, not on the Kiyum HaMitzvah, but on the Maisa Mitzvah. And the Maisa Mitzvah is the Tekiyah. So Rabbi Natan says, it's all Tekiyah Shofar. Bahag might say, in a Chinami, I agree with you, Yisod, that you don't make a Bracha on the Kiyum Mitzvah, only on the Maisa Mitzvah. But maybe over here, at the time you're Tokeh, you're doing the Maisa Mitzvah, and it's Shaykh to say a bracha, but nevertheless, the Nusach HaBracha, you're misaking B'lashon L'Shmoa, because the Kiyum HaMitzvah is what you make the bracha, meaning Eino Chinami, there is a Maisa Mitzvah in the Tekiyah, there is a Kiyum HaMitzvah in the Shmiya. Is the whole Machlokas is, what do you say the bracha on? Do you say the bracha on the Shmiya or the Tekiyah?
Could all of them potentially agree that we know what the Kiyum Mitzvah is and the Maisa Mitzvah is, but when it comes to the bracha, maybe because the bracha is more aligned with the Kiyum, that's why the bracha isn't the actual Maisa, you're actually being the kind of the mitzvah shofar, everyone should agree that I guess the bracha should be Lishmoa.
No, then I don't know. There's machlokas. Machlokas Rishon.
I mean, there's machlokas, but meaning, wouldn't logically the make more sense to say the Lishmoa by the bracha, because the bracha is more aligned with the Kiyum?
Who says bracha is more? I mean, that's group of the machlokas, whether the bracha is more aligned with the Maisa or more aligned with the Kiyum. Right, that could very well be the machlokas. That's how Shachter explains. One of the ways he explains why it is that we say a bracha 49 times for Sfiras Omer, even though half the Rishonim say it's only one, not half the Rishonim, a minority view of Rishonim says that it's only one big Kiyum HaMitzvah. So why are you saying 49 brachas on one Kiyum HaMitzvah? Elamai, the bracha is more aligned with the Maisa Mitzvah. But maybe that's exactly the machlokas between Bahag and Rabbein Tam over here. And that fits very nicely with the Rambam, right? The Rambam says that a shofar, a gazel, you yon sik, is the mitzvah is the shmiyas hakol, and ein b'kol din gazel. The Hagos HaShri disagrees and says shofar, a gazel is possible. And what are they arguing about? So the Gemara in Sukkah tells us in Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph that a sukkah gezula, sakich b'rishus harabim, someone puts up a sukkah b'rishus harabim, he doesn't have rights to that territory, so Rabbi Eliezer apostles and the Chamar Machshir. So the Gemara over there says, Rav Nachman says, Machlokas is b'shatokif as a chaver v'otziv misukaso. You walk into someone else's sukkah, you find the guy, you grab him, you chuck him out of the sukkah, and you commandeer, I don't know if that's a word that's used for a non-moving vehicle, but you just take over his sukkah, right? You take over his sukkah. And Rav Lazar Tamei, the name of Yosef Yidei Chavas, B'sukasu Shachaveru, and Rav Lazar holds that Rav Lazar is on the Shita, he's the Tana that holds that you can only be out in your own sukkah. You need to eat 14 meals in the sukkah, it's got to be your own sukkah every single meal, no company on sukkahs, according to Rav Lazar, you got to have all the meals in your own sukkah. So if karka is an exela, so it's a sukkah gzula. And if it's karka ain't an exela, it's a sukkah shula. So mother shach brings her blazer, you're not going to be yonsei. Because if karka is an exela, it's possible because it's a sukkah gzula. And if you say that karka ain't an exela, so it's still your friend's sukkah, then it's not yours. I mean, if karka is an exela, so you have kinyan exela, it's yours. But if karka is ain't an exela, then it's still your friend. So according to Rabbi, you can't be yotzei. But the Rabbanu l'shita sam that a person can't be yotzei b'sukkah shel chavero, and karka is ain't an exela, so it's a sukkah shula, it's someone else's sukkah, and you're perfectly fine. So Tosfos raises the question, but if you picked up your friend and you threw him out, it's a mitzvah b'avera. So Tosfos says, no, we don't say mitzvah b'avera unless it's bala ratzos. The Ritva writes. Then he says, "Well, Nira Avlanachol Dahacha Kibud Al Kani LaKlal B'Shusa Demariyisa Lo Chashiv Mitzvah Vavavera." It's as if it's not Mitzvah Vavavera because you didn't really do anything to the actual sukkah. It's still in the resource of the original guy. So what does that mean? So Reb Chaim, Reb Shachter points out, Reb Chaim suggested that you see from here that and we discussed this when we spoke about that the gedav mitzvah of avera is not that al yedei your avera a mitzvah was enabled, because that even if you steal karka, we should say al yedei your avera of stealing karka, you enabled your mitzvah. No, the hagdara is that when you violate an avera, and through that avera, the shame avera was chal on some chefza. That there is some object that is now that now has a label of that avera on it, so you can't use it after. You can't use that same chefza to be mekayim a mitzvah. A chefza shel avera is possible to use as a chefza shel mitzvah. So since the chum hold that karka ain't exelas, that the galzin doesn't have kinyan exel in that karka, so it's not a chefza shel avera. Memela, it's not a mitzvah above avera. Where do we find that al yidei your avera, the chefza has a shem chefza shel avera? If it goes on the taltalin, because then it's a chefetz hagazel, because you have kinyan egzela. So the chefza is actually a chefza shel avera. So then you can't use it for a mitzvah. So Rosh Hashanah has a lot more to say on that in Siman Gimel. But the point is that when it comes to Shemiyah versus Tekiyah, it's not as neat as everyone wants to make it. That simple machlokas rishonim, what the nusach habracha is, and they're just arguing what the mitzvah is. It's more likely that there's some sort of nuance involved. But to deny that the Rambam holds that there's a mitzvah of Shemiyah, like the Aruch HaShulchan does, it's very hard to understand how we can deny it in light of everything he writes in Mishnah Torah and what he writes explicitly in Pe'er Adam. So that's one issue that one of the Achronim takes with the Mechaber on the din of Cheresh, and that wouldn't bother us so much, right? The Mechaber is pretty safe, I think, from the attacks of the Aruch HaShulchan. But then there's another issue, but before we get to that, keep it. But a bracha doesn't have to be made over the kiyuma, it's over la asiyasa. The bracha is before the mice.
And when in that point,
no, the nusach habracha is descriptive of the mitzvah, but the timing of the bracha is supposed to be over lasiyasim before you do the ma'aseh. But the nusach is supposed to be descriptive of the mitzvah. So the question is, which part of the mitzvah is it descriptive of?
I guess it is a little bit separate. But why don't we all make the bracha? If we're all being the kind of mitzvah on our own.
Technically we can, but in general, when one person is going to say the bracha for everybody, why would you? Just listen to the guy saying the bracha.
We do it by halo, we do it by Omer.
Maybe you do, maybe you don't. It's a big kasha. Why? We don't do it, we don't normally do it like that by mitzvahs. So, good kasha. Maybe you do it by halo. Certainly, halo Rosh Chodesh makes a lot of sense not to. Right, the Chaz is going to say the bracha, and all the Rishonim say not to say a bracha, and all of Rosh Chodesh. So why would you risk it? Let the Chazan say it, say amen, and go on with your day. Right? Makes a lot of sense.
Everybody's going to want to be Chazan on Shabbos.
Right. The answer to talk. Okay, now there is another critique of the Mechaber over here, and that is that's what the Avnei Meir says. So you have Nezer over here, the Chelek Beis in the Taf Lamed Tes, argues forcefully that a Cheresh She'ino Shomea is a Bar Chiyuva. Elamai, he just doesn't have the capacity to fulfill that Chiyuv. Meaning, everybody says, I agree, the Mitzvah Shemiah. It's Pashuk. No, I'm right, the Mitzvah Shemiah. There's no doubt, the Mitzvah Shemiah. If someone is an Eino Shomea, though, the Mechaber says he's not a Bar Chiyuva. Says Ibn Ezra, he is a Bar Chiyuva. He's just not able to be Mekayim the Mitzvah because of this onus that he has that he's unable to hear. But if he's a Bar Chiyuva, why can't he be Motzi other people in the Shofar? So says Ibn Ezra, an unbelievable Chiddush. Ibn Ezra says, even if you're a Bar Chiyuva, but if through the way you're doing the Mitzvah, in the mode in which you're doing the Mitzvah, you can't be Yotze, even though you're a Bar Chiyuva, you can't be Motzi anyone else either. So since you're not going to be able to hear the kol that you're blowing, and therefore you're not going to be Yotze in the Mitzvah, maybe you're not going to be able to be motzi anybody else either. And based on that, says the Avnei Nezer, what was the shaila in the Avnei Nezer? If a guy puts earplugs in his ear, and he blows shofar, and now he can't hear anything, probably you hear it. And when you're talking, if you put earplugs in your ear and you speak, you hear yourself louder. But maybe when you blow shofar, it doesn't work that way. I don't know, when you blow shofar, I guess maybe you don't hear. Whatever, he puts something in his ear that he's not able to hear the... there's a Rav Moshe Weinberger who's coming today. Rabbi Levin told me that when Weinberger learns, he puts earplugs in his ear. So that way, you know, he can be Mashmiel Lazna is learning, and he feels that it helps as a memory aid. That when you hear yourself learning, it works much better. So, and you don't have to scream like a mishugan all day, you can just say very quietly, and you'll hear yourself when you have earplugs in your ear. Okay, pro tip. The Abinazer argues that if a person puts something in his ear that he's not able to hear, they shofar, and then he blows shofar for other people, a regular bardas, adult, you know, the other people are not yotze, the chiyuv, because it's just like a cheresh. A cheresh is a bar chiyuva, it's just that he's not able to hear at the time that he's blowing. So too, a guy with earplugs in his ears is a bar chiyuva, he's just not able to hear at the time that he's blowing. Against the mechaber, right? Obviously against the mechaber. Mechaber is not a bar chiyuva. So the Avnei Nezer has riots to this idea. What we have to figure out is, like we always said, the mechaber knew how to learn also. Right, that's someone said that the whole thing that Reb Chaim introduced into the world is that both the Rambam and the Rebbe knew how to learn. Right, meaning that was the whole style of learning, is to try to show like Bamei Pligi. You know, what are they arguing about? That they both have a valid perspective. Before that, it's just assessing who's right, who's wrong. But it's better to assess how they're both right and how they're looking at things in a different way. But so the Mechaber knew how to learn. So we're going to have to look at all the writings of the Avnei Nezer and try to figure out why it is that the Mechaber was not impressed with these writings. Mishum Brura in Tavkov Pei Zayin Siv Katan Yud brings a Prima Gadim that if someone is standing outside of a bar and he blows into the bar, those who are in the bar are Yotze Dechiyuv, but the Tokeya is not Yotze because he's standing outside of the bar and he only hears Kol Avara. He doesn't hear the kol shofar. It's a gemara, right? The gemara says Rosh Hashanah Chazayim Beis. So it's mufurish that other people could be yotzei even if you're not being yotzei, right? Even though you're unable to hear the kol shofar, so it's mufurish against the Avnei Nezer, no? That you're not able to hear the shofar. Someone else is able to hear the shofar. They're yotzei. The guys in the bar are yotzei because they're hearing the kol tkiya. You're not able to because your head is outside of the bar. You're only hearing the kol avara, and still they're yotzei. So the Avnei Nezer has a couple of rayas that a person who is a bar chiyuva, but for some physical disability or whatever, is unable to be mekayim the mitzvah, is not able to be motzi others in their mitzvah either. So let's go through the rayas, or a couple of the rayas. One raya is from Yivamus Memdal. The Gemara over there says that anyone who's Zeno Olo L'Chalitza is Zeno Olo L'Yibum. That if someone is unable to do Chalitza, then they can't do Yibum either. The Gemara says, why is it that, Tosas rather says, by a Cheresh and a Chareshes, the Chalitza's puzzle, and nevertheless, the cheresh is miyami. The Gemara says explicitly, even if I'm just confused, that the cheresh could do evil. So what does that mean? A man is deaf, so he cannot do chalitza, but he can do evil. But I thought the Gemara said that anyone who's not a little chalitza is not a little evil. So Tulsa's answer is no. The hasam b'nei chalitza ninu, elav humayu hu dekaiv lehu. The guy who's a mute is able to do chalitza, but his mouth hurts him that day. Meaning it's kilu like a guy who just lost his voice. You're going to tell me he's not a ben chalitza? He's a ben chalitza, he's just unable to do chalitza. Humayu hu dekaiv lehu. So apparently, because they're a cheresh and they're not able to do the kriya of the conversation of chalitza, they don't lose the entire status of Torah Sibum Chalitza. And if they're considered to be Olav Luchal Yibum. So you see that they're still a Ben Chiyuva, even though they're physically unable to do the ritual. That they're still considered a Ben Chiyuva. Because if he was not a Ben Chiyuva in Chalitza, he wouldn't be able to do Yibum either. Elamai, even though he can't actually do Chalitza, but he's still a Ben Chiyuva in Chalitza. And that's why he can do Yibum. Same over here, says Yavne Nezer, when it comes to Tfiya Shofar. That a guy who doesn't have the ability to hear, but he's a bar chiyuva otherwise, because he's a bar das, so he's a bar chiyuva, but asna v'tekayiv lu. His ears hurt him that day. That's the way we should look at it. Is that a great raya? So Rav Asher Weiss, in his Minchas Asher in the Moadim, says he doesn't think it's such a great raya. Because the Beis Meir in Sim Kuf Samach Tas explains the Svara of Tosfos. That the klal kol she'el yibum ain't no chalitza, and a person who can't do yibum can't do chalitza, and vice versa, is only when the reason that the yivama is not a yibum is because there's no zika. Meaning, what does yibum mean? When do you do yibum? You do yibum. Why do we do yibum? Why do we do chalitza? Why do we do anything? Just leave it alone. The man died, okay? So they buried him, whatever. Why do you have to make a whole show also? Right? You ever been to a chalitza? Every once in a while, they'll do a chalitza in YU because they have the Beis Din. It's located on the fifth floor in the building, so they'll do a chalitza. So in some of these batei, I remember there's a video online. You go online, you go on YouTube, you type in chalitza. You'll find the video, there's chalitza done in Lakewood or whatever. Hundreds of bachrim looking on at the chalitza. It's almost like embarrassing, like it's such a sad thing. The whole situation is, chalitzas are always sad. It either means someone died tragically young, or it means someone died old and never had a family. Never had children, so they're always sad, right? It's always a sad situation. So why do we need it for? Just don't do it. Why do we do chalitza? Why would a woman agree to do chalitza? Not a hard question.
She wants to get remarried.
You can't get remarried without chalitza. There's a zika. As soon as the brother dies, if he didn't have any children, she is connected. She's linked to the surviving brother. And if she's linked to the surviving brother, she can't marry anybody else until there's a chalitza done. There's a zika, there's a connection. When we say kol she'ena libya me'ena chalitza, we're saying that if for whatever reason there's no zika, then you can't do yibum or chalitza, because there's no zika in the first place. That's all that klal means. It means if there's no zika. I remember, you remember the Zika virus? Right, there were these mosquitoes, whatever. So in Florida, I remember Rav Asher Weiss's wife was sick at the time, and he was staying in Manhattan because the hospital that she was in was in Manhattan. So a few of us went to visit him in Manhattan. So that was the big discussion at that time. Like, women wanted to know about because they said it was very dangerous for pregnant women. So they wanted to know about using birth control, and what if the birth control doesn't take over in time, what other means of contraception are okay in order that you wouldn't risk this, if you live in Florida, do you have to leave Florida? Because that's where all the, all these questions about. So Dr. Glatt was on the phone. He was on the phone, and I was there, and Rabbi Shai Shechter was there, and Rabbi Sabalovsky was there, I think it was the three of us. And Dr. Glatt was on the phone. And he was going through the whole thing. Zika this and that. And afterwards, he walked out. Rabbi Sabalovsky said, I thought we were talking about Yevamos the whole time. No idea. We're talking about a Zika. He thought that it was a Zika's evil. You just say it, just imagine. You've heard Zika in any other context. So that was an experience. So the Beis Meir, He said, I couldn't figure out, it was a mosquito, I'm doing the bumps. So the base mayor writes that you got to be careful. You never know who passes Isha or not. Rabbi Feldman just emailed me. Someone told him that I repeated his joke about the Kalim Na of the Chassidah. So he said, I appreciate that you somehow used my late sons for Musa. He said, but I was disappointed in myself. He said, I wanted to say that I was just Mekayim HaKlasas Kalim Kipshuto. Okay. Okay, anyway. The Beis Meir writes in Siman Kuf Pei Tes that's the pshat in Tosos, that the klal, the kol she'en olivim eino l'chalitza, is only that there's no zikas yivamin in the first place. So once there's no zika for yibum, so there's no chalitza, it's going to be shayach. So let's say there were three surviving brothers. So she did yibum with one of them, or chalitza with one of them. So then there's no mashmaus to any yibum or chalitza with the others, because she's already done. She did her mitzvah already. There's no zika. The zika's been snapped. There's been a zika is like a binding of her to the brothers. She snapped it. She did a chalitza. So if there's no zika, then there's no mashmaus. So if she's nafla in front of the brothers of Cheresh, so there's no problem with the etzem zika. It's just that he's unable to do the chalitza. So that, you're going to say, you still got to do something. So then he's got to do the yibum. But that has nothing to do with being a bar chiyuva to be motzi achirin yidei chavasa. It's got nothing to do with shofar. Shomea has to hear the kol shofar of a mitzvah, and someone who's not a bar chiyuva, whether it's because oznav hu de koiv lehu or whatever, or he's a lav bar das, it doesn't matter. He's not a bar chiyuva, and if he's not a bar chiyuva, you're not able to be shomea shofar for a person who's not a bar chiyuva. So this has nothing to do with the whole case in Yevamos. That's why Rav Moshe Weiss argues that raya of the Avnei Nezer is not particularly compelling. Similarly, another raya the Avnei Nezer brings is Magen Avraham and Siman Lamed Tes of Katne. It's a little more of a familiar sugya to us. Tefillin. Now, let's say a person, lo aleinu, is missing a left arm. Okay, what does he do about tefillin? That's one discussion. Can he write tefillin? He's a righty, kamuvan. So can he be kosev tefillin? So normally there's a halacha called shen b'kshiyus and a b'ksiva, right? Otherwise, if you were able to write kasher tefillin, even though if you're in a bakshira, all of the sofrim would be women, right? Women generally are much more artistic. They could probably produce much nicer ksav. Bigadol, I'm sure they're very artistic sofrim. They're very good sofrim out there. What I'm saying, it would be such a great thing for a kolal wife to do. Elamai, they're all possum, because kol she'en bakshira is in a baksiva. It's interesting. You have such a din that kol she'en b'kshira is erev tziva. It's a mefurish drasha by tefillin. By sukkah, you have a mefurish sukkah's ganvach is kosher, that a woman can make a sukkah. Gemara never talks about it by tzitzis. Right? You say that anyone who's part from tzitzis shouldn't be able to tie tzitzis. It's fascinating that the Gemara doesn't talk about it. The Gemara talks about it explicitly by sukkah, explicitly by tefillin. So that's the discussion that we showed him. What's tzitzis more like? Is it more like sukkah? Is it more like tefillin? But by tefillin, you have such a drasha. So the guy who doesn't have a left hand, let's say he's not able to put on tefillin because he doesn't have a weak hand to put tefillin on. So the Magen Avraham writes, if he's missing a left hand, he can still write tefillin. Because he is b'kshira. It's pumu d'kaivlei. Or whatever. Yadavu d'kaivlei. It's his arm that hurts. Or lack of arm that hurts. So he is b'chlal kshira, so he's b'chlal tziva as well. So Rav Shmuel says, and therefore says Ebenezer, and the same thing over here, that the guy is a bar chiyuva, it's just that he's unable to hear, and as a bar chiyuva, he should be able to be motzi others, just like the guy is able to write tefillin. So Rav Shmuel says, no, that's also a totally different halacha. Kol she'yesh b'kshir yesh b'ksiva is midin bar chiyuva, that the ksivas and parshas of tefillin is only kosher. It's only a hechsher mitzvah. It's not misvara that we say that mishena b'kshir is in a b'ksiva. It's because there's a kasuv. That if you're not including the mitzvah k'shir, you're not including the mitzvah k'siva. So it's mistaver that it's only someone who's not nichnas into the chiyuv at all. That's the gzeres hakasuv. That if you're not nichnas into the chiyuv, so there's a special gzeres hakasuv that tells me that if you're not a bar chiyuv, you cannot produce tefillin. But someone who's nichnas into the chiyuv, but his arm hurts him, so he can produce tefillin. That's where you have a gzeres hakasam. But over here, we're dealing without a gzeres hakasam. We're just dealing with the basic klalim. So mehechitesi, that's someone who's unable to do the mitzvah of shofar is going to be able to be motzi other people if he's unable to do the mitzvah of shofar. So, or he's going to be unable to be motzi other people, right? Luchara, anyway, the Magen Avraham is difficult to understand anyhow, because the Magen Avraham doesn't shtel too to the fact that you're wearing tefillin shel rosh. So isn't that enough of a yeshem b'kshira that the person is able to wear tefillin shel rosh? So okay, it says ukshartam niyos lehidecha, it says b'ahiyu l'totefos b'inenecha, so maybe there's no din of kshira by shel rosh. Not so pashut, but there's no din of kshira by shel rosh. Yeah, he thought that because the whole idea of kol yashnu b'kshir, yashnu b'ksiva is gzeres hakasuv, so it's mistaver that the only people that the gzeres hakasuv are excluding are those who are never nichlas into the chiyuv b'chlal. But that bears no that has no bearing on a place where you are gzeres hakasuv and you're just working with the basic klal. And then the third raya of the Avnei Nezer, we have time for it. Yeah, last one. Third raya of the Avnei Nezer is the Mishnah Melech in the third paragraph of Hilchos Bikurim, that a mute person is not maybe Bikurim because he's not Roy Lekriya. And anything it's like Kol Roy Lebila Makevzbo Kol Shein Roy Lebila Ainvila Kol Haroy Lebila Ainvila Makevzbo Kol Shein Roy Lebila Makevzbo. Right, so he's unable to do the Kriya, therefore he's not maybe Bikurim. Not like an Isha who's Mevia Ve'eno Kore. Why is an Isha Mevia Ve'eno Kore? So this, we spoke about this recently. Why can't a woman do Kriyas Bikurim? Because there's an element that she can't say. That's not relevant to her. Because an Isha is Pata from Vida Bikurim because she can't say Min Adam Asher Nasatali. Because there is no Adam Asher Nasatali. She's not Yoresh Achelet Ba'aretz. So she's Mevia Ve'eno Kore. You're going to say that a cherish is not a baruch yuv and shofar because he's not shomea, so it's mistaver that a mute person should be someone who's not at all bichlal kriya because he's a medaber. So it must be that an ilayim, that a mute person is bichlal d'chiyuv of yidu b'kur, right? Because we say that an ilayim, how do we say that an ilayim is eino maybe b'kurim because he's not royal kriya. So he said, if he's not roi the bila, so the bila is going to be ma'akev. Whereas an isha is part of the vidui, but she does the bringing of the bikur. So how does that translate over to a cherish? So a cherish, if he should be like the ilim, that he's included in the mitzvah, but he's just unable to physically carry out the mitzvah. Right? So how does that prove the Abinezer's point? I'm getting confused there. How does that prove the Abinezer's point? What are the Avnei Nezer want to tell you? So the Ilayim.
The Ilayim is technically a Baruch Yu, but a very Bikurim, but for some reason, for whatever reason, because he can't say it, so we say he's not Chayav to. He's now not able to bring Bikurim, but fundamentally, he's still a Baruch Yu. So do by. That's what the.
So he's suggesting that the Ilayim is fundamentally a Baruch Yu, but it's just that we have this Klal of Kol Yeru and Bila. That's what he's saying. Yeah. It's not so clear that that raya is a good raya either, because the whole gather of kolorei lebila. What is kolorei lebila? Shachar often points out. It seems to be machlokas Rashbam and Shagazari, but the more popular explanation is what Rashbam writes. Rashbam writes about Basra on Pe'alaf and Beis that what's bila? What does bila mean? We use that phrase kolorei lebila. You familiar with that phrase? By a korban mincha, you have to have a certain amount of flour and a certain amount of oil. Then you're supposed to mix all the flour and the oil to the point that all the flour gets wet. That's blila, or bila, right? The halacha is that if you don't do blila, the carbon is still kosher. But the halacha is that if your ratio of flour to oil is so off, you have so much flour or so little oil, that it couldn't even possibly wet all of the, you have a giant vat of flour and a drop of oil, then it's going to be possible. But I don't need to do blila anyway. What difference does it make if not all the... I don't even have to do the mixing. If I pour in a whole cup of oil, I don't have to do the mixing. All the flour will stay dry. 90% of the flour will stay dry. It's still going to be kosher. So why would I put in a drop of oil where it's not enough to make it wet? Why is it that it's going to be possible? So the Rashbam explains, because the Torah gave us, like, rules. And, like, a cheftah shel mitzvah. So if the ingredients for the mitzvah are X amount of oil and X amount of flour, so then those are the ingredients. Okay, there's a lechachila and a b'diavad of how to do the mitzvah. Lechachila, you should do the b'lila, b'diavad, you don't do the b'lila. But at least you got to do what the Torah says. You got to have the ingredients that the Torah says, otherwise it's not a karba. You can't just make up your own ingredients of the karba. I have a new recipe for a karba mincha. There's no new recipe for a karba mincha. You got to do what the recipe says. So he says, I understand an isha's mevia ve'inu kari, because the Torah patters an isha from mikra bikurim, and it doesn't patter from havas bikurim. So by bikuri isha, by the bikurim that an isha is going to bring, there's no mitzvah or din of mikra bikurim, because only a man is mitzvah in mikra bikurim, and if he's not royal kriya, then the bila is ma'akeves bo. Meaning, if you're included in the chiyuv of mikra bikurim and you can't do it, so then you're potter from the whole mitzvah. But a woman was never included in the first place in mikra bikurim. So if she was never included in the first place in mikra bikurim, the ingredients of the mitzvah for her are to just do the havas bikurim. For the man, what does it take? What does he need in order to do the mitzvah? Mikra and hava. If he can't do one, kol sheinu roi labila bila ma'akeves bo. You don't have the ingredients for the mitzvah, so sorry, you can't get the mitzvah. But for a woman, the whole ingredients for the mitzvah in the first place are only the havas bikurim. So it turns out that an Elaim is not like an Isha. Because an Elaim is only part from mikra bikurim, but he's from the min, that's chayiv. But he's just potter bepol because he's not able to do it. And mele, the bila is going to be ma'akev. But as far as a gedder of a bar chiyuva to be motzi other people, so it could be that when it comes to shofar, when it comes to being motzi other people in any mitzvah, the gedder of bar chiyuva might not be this in principle, are you included in the mitzvah? It might be practically, can you do the mitzvah? And a cheresh she'eno shomea practically cannot do the mitzvah. So if you practically can't do the mitzvah, you can't be able to see other people. And that's what the Mechaber is saying. That Kivin Shein Roshomea Lav Bar Chiyuva doesn't mean that in principle he's not a Bar Chiyuva. Maybe the Avnei Ezer is right. In principle he is a Bar Chiyuva. Practically he's a Lav Bar Chiyuva. And in order to be able to see other people, you have to be practically a Bar Chiyuva. So that's how Rav Asher Weiss rejects the Avnei Ezer when it comes to Chir. So again, tomorrow... I don't yet know if I'm going to say Shir Rosh Hashanah, because it depends on what Rabbi Sachs does. So we should let the counselors know also that Rabbi Sachs will be doing Shir at 9 o'clock. If he does Rosh Hashanah, I told him what we're learning. I told him he doesn't have to do Rosh Hashanah, he can do Parsha or whatever. But if he does Rosh Hashanah, I feel like it will be too much Rosh Hashanah one day. And then we'll figure, I'll react off of it. Okay?